Hey, how can I help you?
I was just looking at your signs.
Looking at our signs?
Yeah.
That's the best part about our van is our signs.
I know. I'm thinking about doing that myself.
Yeah? Actually. Wes, you pulled up in that van.
Yeah. But
what is
That's a county van.
A county van. You drive people around?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a shuttle bus?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Nice. What's your name?
Greg.
Greg, I'm Tupos.
Tupos?
Tupos. T-U-P-O-S. In Greek, it means example. It's from the scriptures, 1 Peter 5:3.
Ah.
We became born again. That's my wife, Amen.
Okay.
I call her Sister Amen.
Ah, hi, nice to meet you.
And the reason that we did that is because, you know, the Bible says when you come to Christ, you're a new creation. And my old name was James.
Oh.
And her old name was Debbie.
Yeah.
And whenever we think of those old names, guess what we think of?
The old self.
Oh, drunks, partiers, fighters, idolaters, everything of the world. So when we came to Christ, as we matured years later, we read the verse in Revelation where it says, one day you'll get a new name.
Yeah, you read that verse. Yeah, yeah.
So we just said, you know what? If God's going to give us a new name, we'll let him give us our new name when we get to heaven. We're going to take a new name here. So we took on names that are more meaningful to us.
Yeah, and you know what? You don't have to verify that with the government either.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's not their business.
Yeah, we didn't do anything legal. I mean, it's just what our brothers and sisters call us and what we introduce ourselves to people. But that's the gospel we preach. We travel all over the country. I'm a street preacher, and I teach online at our website, don'tperish.com. And we travel all over the country. We just came from, honey, what town were we in? Hayward.
Oh,
thank you.
Sure.
She's always looking at the map, but when I tell her where we need to go, she's my navigator. We preached at the festival in Hayward.
Oh, yeah? What?
Muskie Festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we preached her 2 years ago, and we preached her this year. So we go out, and we street preach, and we talk to people. And then today we're kind of taking a day in the park because we got a bunch of do a bunch of online stuff. I thought it was supposed to be rainy today. Otherwise, we probably would be somewhere downtown flying signs, but I don't think it's supposed to come until later. But
it's
unpredictable
because of the forest fires
stuff. Yeah. Well, we stand outside religious places and warn them. So the gospel that we proclaim, I think it's on, that's everything.
Yeah.
The gospel that we proclaim is we just lift up Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. He's the only way to the Father.
Right.
And most everybody agrees with that, but where it really falls apart with the church systems that we warn people about and the culture is people lose the next part of the gospel, which is they see what Christ did. Everybody knows that Christ died and rose again, and he's a historical figure. 2023 marks after his death, 2,000
years?
Roughly. Yeah, 2,000 years.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of gets that, unless you're an atheist or a mocker, they get that. So by Christ's blood, but where people really fall short is the next step of the gospel to find eternal life is Jesus said it himself. He said, you must repent.
Yeah.
Repentance is a changing of your mind and your ways.
Right.
And it sets you on the course out of the world and out of all false ways. And it sets you on a course for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God in his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. So by faith, repentance, it means you're willing to lose your life.
Right.
Most people just add Jesus onto their already worldly sinful life. But Jesus said, replace that and then follow me in righteousness. And then when God sees a willing vessel, you're willing to repent and have faith. The Bible says he'll give you a Holy Spirit. You get a new heart, new mind. That's what happened to us. We're born again.
Yeah.
And it changed our hearts and our minds. And then the proof that you're born again by the Spirit of God, born from above, John 3, is not that you go to church.
Yeah.
Not that you read the Bible in the morning, then go out and live like the world.
Yep.
Not that you just think you're better than the next person. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is he draws you to the Word.
Right.
And he tests everything in your life.
Right.
And he compels you to be sanctified. John 17:17, thy word is truth. The word sanctifies us. And it washes us. It cleanses us. And each day, week, month, and year, we should be walking more obedient, more holy, more conformed to his word, making ourselves ready for the physical kingdom that's going to come one day, the new heaven and new earth. And so that's the fruit, a hunger and a desire for righteousness and all that is truth.
Right.
I don't know American churchianity people that have that hunger and desire for righteousness and actually seek it out and do it, meaning leaving the ways that are false and against Christ.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'll just give you a few examples. Like if you're born of Christ,
yeah.
Should you live like God in his ways or should you live like the world?
Should live like God in his ways.
Most Christians that I know, all of them in the world still, they live like the world. Should we practice pagan holidays that were started by the Roman Catholics, which is another false group?
Right.
Christmas, Easter, Good Friday. Should we practice those or should we just practice what the Father ordained?
Practice what the Father ordains.
Right. Yeah. And then all those things. Should we, you know, a lot of people, you know, they spend their time riding bikes, working out weights, doing things to dress and live in pride and vanity. They're puffing themselves up. Look at the car I drive.
Right.
Look, I own this whole business. Look at the house I built. Oh, it's a $1 million house.
I know.
This is pride. Yeah. And in Proverbs 6:17, God says that's an abomination to him.
Or idolatry. It could be idolatry.
And it could be idolatry, both. Yeah. So the fruit is holiness and obedience conforming, and you're going to lose your friends, your family, your false religion, your flesh. You're going to lose all that if you follow Jesus.
Right.
And the last part of the gospel is, every week, every day, every month, every year, you must walk in that and endure. Many false teachers are teaching you. You said Greg, right?
Right.
Greg, raise your hand, say a prayer, get water, dip. Congratulations, you're going to heaven no matter what because you're a child of God. The Bible does not teach that anywhere. The Bible teaches that you're in a blood covenant if you truly come to Christ.
Yeah.
And a covenant is like a marriage.
Yeah,
it's agreement of two parties.
Right, okay.
Right? Makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So me and my wife are married. Are you married?
I am.
Okay,
yes.
So you and your wife are married. Do you have a covenant by that understanding?
We do.
Yep. Yeah. Can you ruin your covenant, or is it guaranteed for life no matter what?
You can ruin it.
You can ruin it. Can you walk away from it?
Yeah.
Sure. You could tell your wife, I'm done. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Can you find someone else and go fall into adultery?
Yeah.
I can too. Yeah. And when we cheat against God with the world, it's spiritual adultery. It's even worse.
Yeah.
It's even worse. That's the idols that you're talking about. And so marriages are a covenant, just like the mirror image of, because we're the bride and Christ is our bridegroom.
You know,
that's what the Bible says.
I had, there's a teacher that I know, and he said, we're not the bride. We are the body of Christ.
Oh, no, we are the bride.
He refers to the bride as in Revelation.
Oh, no, well, we are the bride. Who's the teacher you're talking about?
His name is not relevant, but his name is Ken.
Ken, is he on the internet stuff?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
We are the bride because Paul talks about presenting a spotless bride to Christ. And in Revelation, that is the bride. Is he a dispensationalist? You know what
no,
that is?
Yes, I do.
Where they break it up into buckets and say, that's for this time,
well,
this for this
time. He gave his testimony. He was raised Baptist, and they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But God led him in a direction where he realized that was still real, gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
In other words, they didn't discontinue. There's no
That's another whole topic. I'm a middle...
He studied this stuff a lot.
Well, yeah, but a lot of people do. Satan quotes the Bible, too, so be careful just because somebody quotes the Bible. But I studied that, too, and I believe Jesus said the narrow road to eternal life. Guess what? The narrow road is in the middle of the road.
But get this, though.
And there's a ditch on each side.
Yeah, but the bride, even if you referred to us as the body of Christ,
which is the bride.
Because we're supposed to be on the earth. We're supposed to be Christ's hand extended.
Right.
So even if we're the body of Christ, what did Christ do? He suffered for us too. And we will suffer. If we are in the body of Christ, we will suffer in this world.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to nitpick it.
We are the body and we are the... And here you go. Ready?
So you're thinking the bride.
Oh, no. Well, let me explain to you. Today, we're the body of Christ. We're also the bride, but the marriage supper of the Lamb hasn't happened yet.
So we're not the bride. We're actually
the
virgins.
Well, we're the betrothed.
The ten virgins.
We're the betrothed, we're the betrothed, which means we're promised. We're promised, okay? And if you're promised, if you go back to Joseph and Mary, they hadn't even really committed their marriage vows yet, but she was betrothed to him, right?
Right.
And guess what? She was found pregnant. What's the first thing he thought?
He wanted to put her away.
And it put her away, and he hadn't even married her yet. So the betrothal is like a guarantee. So we're betrothed. Yeah. We're the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ to come. So we are his bride, and he's watching. And guess what? He's coming back, and he's only coming back for a spotless bride. He's not going to come back for a harleted bride that's linked to all the things of the world, the false church systems.
Yeah.
Like the man you mentioned, is he associated to a church?
He goes to various churches.
Okay.
I usually tell people I'm a non-denominational Christian. I believe what the Bible says.
Yeah. Do you attend services somewhere?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been going to Red Cedar Room over here.
What is that, sir?
It's Wesleyan, actually.
Wesleyan,
Nature.
Okay. Yeah. So what I would encourage people to do is test what they're... See, because if you go...
exactly.
If
you
go
to.
Somewhere...
Yeah.
Think of this.
Yeah.
If you go somewhere and you unite to them in singing and prayer and fellowship...
Okay.
You are united to them. If you went to a Mormon church, you agree with the Mormons? Do you know about the Mormons?
Yeah, I do.
Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah, see, they have variations on their theology. Yeah,
they don't believe Jesus is God.
I remember Reverend Sun Young Moon, he was preaching too.
So here's the thing. You wouldn't go to their church and say, well, I don't agree with everything, and sing and pray and unite with them. So I would encourage you, the Bible tells us to only...
Set a standard?
Not our own standard. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, of the true body of Christ, make the distinction between the true body of Christ and people that meet in buildings. Well, the body of Christ is not just people meeting in buildings. The body of Christ is the blood-bought ecclesia. The word church means ecclesia.
You're supposed to have the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Right.
Temple. They're born again.
Yeah. And they're following Christ. They're not following a man-made religious system.
Right.
And when you test these religious systems, I don't care if they're Wesleyan, non-denominational, Baptist, Methodist, they're all keeping a form of man-made religion that the Father, this is my Bible, did not ordained. And so if you unite to that, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, be fully united in the same mind, all speaking the same things.
But he also said,
you shouldn't unite to anybody that you don't speak all the same things with.
He also said this, I become all things to all men in order to win some to Christ.
Right. Well, what's the context of that? Always study in context. What's the context?
The context.
Go read the verses around that.
The context is to win those people to his position or Christ's position.
And who were those people?
Anybody.
In context, that specific scripture Paul is talking about to the Jews, he even goes on to tell us, to the Jew, I became a Gentile. Now, that doesn't mean he sinned. That doesn't mean he went along with their false traditions. What Paul did is Acts 17. He went into the pagan Gentiles.
To educate.
And he proclaimed Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. If you're going to go to the Wesleyan church, I would encourage you to get fully biblical yourself and then walk in there and proclaim the gospel and call them out of their sins.
Here's what's interesting.
Call them out of their sins.
Sure. If they are in sin, yes. So
false traditions. Christmas, Easter.
Yeah.
They keep those.
Okay. So the gentleman I'm talking about, I critique what he says too, because I have the Holy Spirit as well.
Right.
And we're supposed to judge between ourselves. The prophets are supposed to listen to the prophets, right? And judge the Spirit, whether it's of God or not.
Yeah,
right?
Actually, that is true. And today, because we have the sealed Word of God, we use the Word of God, like it says in Acts 17, test the people and the men to the Scriptures. The prophets were always tested to the Scriptures.
Yep.
So we test to the Scriptures.
Okay.
Test any man, test me, test anyone to the Scriptures. Yep. And as soon as you find where they're teaching sin and false ways, I have a question.
Yeah.
What did the holy prophets of God, what happened to them when they told one sin, one lie, one false way?
Usually they got killed.
They were stoned.
Yeah.
Have you noticed today?
Or God killed them.
They just overlook, well, he's not perfect. They overlook this heresy, this and no. Well, now we don't stone them and kill them. Paul says, mark them and reject them.
Yeah, yeah.
So reject all of those people in your life that compromise and settle for false traditions.
Or perhaps they're uninformed.
Well, I've been doing this for many, many years. Been born again 15 years, traveling around, standing outside religious bodies, reaching out to pastors. Out of the many thousands of people I've dealt with that are churchgoers, and then over 1,000 pastors one-on-one, email talking to, calling them to repentance, giving them the biblical gospel, telling them how they're keeping false ways, because that's what, I'm not a prophet, but the prophets went and called people out of their sin. I do a prophet's job. I'm not a prophet, but I do a prophet-like job. Out of the over 1,000 pastors and the thousands of people that we know, first of all, the thousands of people that we've called out, I know a tiny handful of saints that have come out of the religion church to follow Christ. So I do know a handful, a few, just like Jesus said would be few in Matthew 7.
Okay.
How many teachers, leaders do I know out of the over 1,000? Zero.
I don't know
one pastor that's given up, ready, his job, they've turned it into a career. You know that's true. That was never the model of in the New Testament.
Are they hirelings?
They are hirelings indeed.
Okay.
They're taking money to propagate a false system.
How do you know that?
Because I test their doctrine. I've tested the Wesleyan Church. I've tested all. Name one church that's fully biblical.
The apostles also said that if someone gives you spiritual blessings, is it not reasonable that you should give them financial blessings?
Well, now wait. Now, when you talk about what's a hireling, I never said a man of God can't receive money to support his ministry.
Okay.
A hireling
is somebody that flees when the wolf approaches.
Right. He's a false teacher that's taking money.
Yeah.
So you drive a van. Do you get paid to do this?
They give me 50 cents a mile.
Whatever. So yeah. What happens if they were paying you to do this and you were just driving everybody one spot and throwing them out and not doing your job? You'd be a hireling bus driver because you're taking money and not doing it rightly. Right. But if you're doing it as a bus driver, you're hired, there's nothing sinful in that. But the modern pastor role, one guy in the box doing all the teaching, he gets a salary, a house, a car, retirement. You won't find that anywhere in the New Testament. Men can be supported and provided for. It was food and clothing and maybe some shelter in the New Testament. They've turned the pulpit ministry into a career, and it's not.
Okay, let's back up here a little, okay? So there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
Okay.
And Paul says, I was hoping that you would at least be teachers at this point.
Right.
But you're still babies.
Right, yeah, in Corinthians. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3, they're carnal Christians.
Yeah, so it would appear based on that structure that the teacher would be like the first level. Maybe the pastor would be a second level, evangelist a third level. In other words, if there's a problem with the pastor, it would be up to probably the evangelist, the prophets, or the apostles and come to reprove them.
Yeah, I would, let me fix my sign real quick. Yep. I would agree with you. I don't know. Yeah, I know it's hard to identify. I don't know if I'd say levels. What I would say is there is five offices, let's call
it. Right.
And I don't think you can put like one thing higher above on the other one. But those offices are not really the government of God's body per se, because those are offices that operate. A pastor is not a guy that stands in a wooden box and does all the teaching for everybody. What's the definition of a pastor?
Shepherd.
What's a shepherd do?
A shepherd is supposed to lead the flock safely and to food and to take care.
And there could be many shepherds in a flock, not just one guy.
Yes.
So they've turned it down. They've got it down where it's one guy that does it. But what Paul assigned to Timothy in Titus 1 is he said, go and put in order what I've told you.
Right.
And the five you mentioned are more actually of the spirit that God ordains each man to do. But Paul said, go ordain elders, multiple elders in each town. And here's how the elders serve. The elders serve as overseers. They don't do all the work. They don't do all the teaching. They can teach. They don't control everybody. They don't say, sit down, stand up, sing a prayer, say this, I preach for half an hour, stand up, say a prayer, take a give ring, we're done in an hour and a half. That's not what they do. They let the Holy Spirit lead. And a Holy Spirit-led gathering doesn't last an hour and 15 minutes and usually stop at noon all the time.
I know.
That's not the Holy Spirit. That's man.
I know that.
So your Wesleyan church, all these other churches, they're man-led.
Well,
program, pulpit, one guy, do this, do that, stand down, sit down. What if I was in there and I said, ready? I go to the Wesleyan church. If they were Spirit-led. And after this,
and
I wouldn't interrupt.
The Spirit is telling you something different.
Yeah, and what if
I... It can't be divided spirit.
Well, no, but what if I didn't interrupt him, and what if I said, great, Pastor, you're done. I'd like to address the body. I'd then come up to the pulpit, and they would go, you're not in the program. You're not... Test my word to the doctrines of God, and I begin to preach. They'll call the police and throw me out. That's not of the Holy Spirit. They should test what I say, and everything I say that's true, they should say amen, and if it's false, they should correct me.
Are you telling me out of all those 1,000 pastors that they would potentially do that to you?
Let me tell you something. Yeah. My wife is a witness. Look at her face. Do you know how many times the pastors have called the police on me when I'm on a public sidewalk outside of their building, peacefully preaching with a sign? They call the police.
They don't come and talk to you. Oh, Lord. Well,
hold
Jesus.
On. Hold on. Let me say never.
Yeah.
Rarely do they come out.
Yeah.
I did a church not long ago.
Yeah.
I did two of them not long ago. The modern pastors came out. The first guy came out and said, can I give you peace advice? You're not going to win anybody. So I said, I'm not trying to win anybody. I said, I'm trying to look for a sheep that's in this goat farm, because it was a total heretical place. You know what he said? Walking away. Well, I'm calling the cops on you. You'll be sorry. Public sidewalk.
Rather than stand there.
Then
talk
the other modern pastor came out. He was like the founder. This guy's like another one.
Yeah.
He came out and he lied. And I caught him in his lies and I got the testing on the internet and I showed everybody, and there was another seeker there that talked to me for an hour and he said, you're right, he's lying. They do teach that. Then the other day, we standed outside Hayward. There's a church in Hayward called Element Church. Have you ever heard of it? It's in Hayward.
No.
Okay.
No.
Wade Bishop is the modern pastor there. And he also lied. 2 years ago, he tried to throw me out of the festival that's a public, open to everybody.
Yeah.
Tried to throw me out, his little worldly car show that he runs. He's mixed with the world. He's a friend of the world.
Okay.
Pastors don't put on car shows, Greg. Pastors proclaim the gospel, shepherd people. He puts on car shows and plays rock and roll music. What does rock and roll mean? Do you know what it really means? What the original meaning of rock and roll?
No.
Rock with the music, roll, fornicate. Sex. Rock and roll. Rock and have sex. That's where it comes from. And it's carnal and it's worldly. Okay. So he came out and tried to throw me out. That was 2 years ago. I said, hey, what Bible verses say that you can be of the world? He had nothing. 2 years later.
Love of the world is enmity with God.
Yeah, he can't preach Bible verses because it's not in the Bible, but yet he's worldly to grow his building, to get a bigger building. 2 years later, last weekend, I show up there, did the same thing. I preached. I didn't address him. And I'm warning people. He knew better to throw me out because I have a testing of him on the internet. He knows about it. Our website goes all around the world and warns people. The Bible says mark and expose and warn. If you're my neighbor, I want to warn you about him so he doesn't deceive you. Okay. You go searching his body on the internet. I want you to find a testing. He didn't try to throw me out. I'm preaching and I said, this guy preaches eternal security. He's standing. He goes, I don't preach that. My wife said, he's saying he doesn't preach it. I pull up my phone. I go to their website. I go to what we believe. And guess what it says right there? What we believe. Eternal security. Right on his own website. So what I'm telling you is these people are liars. Let me go further. 2 days later, I'm walking through Hayward street preaching. No amp or nothing. Just walking through. My wife's on another corner. I see Wade Bishop, the pastor. I said, wow, what meeting you here? I clicked my phone on right away. He sits on a bench. I said, 2 years you've had. I said, how about it now, Wade? What Bible verses tell us we can be worldly and carnal like your body is? We're men, right? You could tell when a man's mad, like when a man wants to punch you. He's like this. He's like, don't put the video on. I said, hey, public place, I'm putting a video on. Because not only do I want to record it for my website, these men will call the police and say, I'm stalking them. And I can tell the police, I got a whole record. I wasn't stalking them. We walked by the sidewalk. He wouldn't answer, right? I said, okay, I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to go down and do my thing. He follows me. Sits on the bench over there. Go across the street. He follows me. Sits on the bench over there. I turn around. I said, you following me? Well, maybe. He didn't say, wait, hold on. Yeah. He didn't say a word. He walked by. And I said, you've had 2 years to answer to that testing. Send me an email. Call me. Give an answer. He's got none. And I tell you that story because the modern pastors are not preaching the biblical gospel. They haven't come out of the world. They want to please itchy ears. They're a fulfillment of prophecy when Paul said, the days will come in the last days. When they itchy ears, they won't endure sound doctrine. They heap up for themselves teachers. Wade is cool. Go Packers. Go college football. Go shiny car show. Go hunt and fish and idolatry. He's fun and a little bit of Jesus in there. Man, when the street preacher shows up, he's no fun. He's just preaching righteousness.
Let me ask you about a very popular teacher.
If he's popular, he's false.
It's her name is.
Her name.
Yeah, her name is. Let's see here. It's not coming to me now. Let's see.
She older?
Joyce Meyer.
I was just going to say Joyce Meyer.
Yeah.
She's a word of faith, absolute heretic.
Why? Why do you say that?
For so many reasons. For one, women are not to be teachers of men.
They're not to usurp authority.
Paul says, I have not a woman to usurp authority nor to teach men. 1 Timothy 2.
Can you show that to me?
Yeah.
Where it says they shouldn't teach men?
Yeah. And 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says women should be silent in the body.
I understand.
That means
and
when people are gathered.
The woman was deceived.
You notice how quiet my wife is? If we're believers, this is the body gathered. Do you hear my wife correcting you? You hear my wife teaching on you?
No.
Now, my wife knows the Bible as well as I do. And my wife, she was just witnessing down the street. My wife shares the gospel. My wife shares all kinds of truth with women. If I wasn't here, and she said, my husband's right down the road, he'll be here in a minute. My wife would share as much truth with you as she could to help you, but then she would say, I can't teach you, you got to talk to my husband. That's a biblical, godly woman. Joyce Meyer is a feminized, worldly woman. And she's a word of faither. She has terrible doctrine. Her gospel is false. Yeah. She keeps pagan holidays. She sells the things of God. She's a multi-millionaire. She's worth like 50 million, 80 million.
Okay.
Selling the things of God. Jesus would bring a whip to her back for that. What did he do in John 2?
He made a whip. I don't have the power to judge another person's spirit.
Actually, we don't judge spirit. We judge fruit.
Yes,
if you saw me hit my wife.
You're supposed to be a fruit inspector.
If you saw me beating my wife, are you judging my spirit or my fruit?
Your fruit.
Look at her fruit.
Yeah.
Her fruit is wickedness, feminization, worldliness, carnality. She's a word of faith heretic. You got to run from somebody like that. Otherwise, you're an enemy of God as well by going along with that.
Yeah. But you're asking me to believe what you say. rather than what Scripture. Scripture is no.
1 Timothy 2, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over men, but to be in silence.
Right.
What does that say?
So we have to...
Not to teach.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what it said?
Yeah.
So don't, not me, is that
what
God's word?
What version is that?
That is King James.
Okay.
1 Timothy 2, verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach.
See, I know all that.
You just quoted the Bible wrongly, though. You said it says don't usurp authority. This is their egalitarian mindset. They say, oh, no, no, the Bible says she can't usurp authority. If her husband tells her she can do this, she's not usurping authority. That's not what it says. It says she can't teach men.
Right,
she can't rebuke men. She can't correct men.
In my mind, it doesn't make sense because the woman was deceived. Paul states that.
All over.
Because we're made differently.
We are.
Men and women are different.
We have different qualities.
Adam deliberately disobeyed God.
He did. And Eve led him to it.
He didn't have to do it.
No, but she led him to it. She brought it to him.
But if he would have obeyed God,
he could have obeyed God.
He could have said no.
But she was deceived by Satan. She came and deceived Adam. Adam fell for it.
I don't think she deceived Satan.
She did.
No.
It says right here, she brought it to her husband, Eve.
I know.
Oh.
But here's what I think was happening. And this is going to be to
you think she was doing a good thing for him? Whether it was or not, it was deception.
Here's Adam's thinking, I believe. Oh, I really love this woman.
I'm gonna test it.
I love this woman. I'll do anything for her.
No, you know what? Well, I'm so.
No, glad. I'm saying that's I'm, probably what no. Adam was
I'm
thinking.
I'm so glad I met you. There's a false teacher on the internet that about a month ago, 2 months ago, I heard him teach this. I'm not gonna mention his name to give him credit. Ready?
Yeah.
You want to talk about wicked? I showed up at his church. I'm not gonna tell you his name.
You don't have to.
I showed up at his church on the public sidewalk. Never set foot on their property.
Okay.
I was across the street preaching. He saw me.
Yeah.
He's already known as a carnal, vile man. He once told people in Dunkin' Donuts, if you don't give me my coffee because he wouldn't wear a mask, he said, I'll kick your teeth down your throat. That's a pastor.
Oh, my God.
He said it on video. Okay, he's a carnal man.
Yeah.
He walks across the street. I'm standing there with my phone videotaping. A pastor, well-known. He's famous on the internet.
Oh my goodness.
He walks up to me, and my wife is always telling me, when you're videotaping, you shouldn't hold your phone up. Guys, I'm like, okay, I get it, honey. I would recommend you wouldn't do that. Would you believe a pastor would come up and accost you in any way physically?
With the phone?
With my phone. I'm just standing there preaching, and I'm like, hey, you're coming out to talk to me? Ready? Rips my phone out of my hand.
Yeah.
Throws it, like, from here to the water. And calls me names. Ready? And guess who was there? Cop here, cop there, cop there. The young cop goes running to get my phone. The other cops grab him and usher him away. And I look at the cops. I'm like, the guy brings my phone back. I go,
what just happened?
Is that assault? He goes, well, it could be. I said, that's a $700 iPhone.
Assault is verbal. Battery is physical.
Or battery.
So if he took that,
yeah.
It would
I said,
be
that's
a
$700 iPhone. I didn't pay that for. We got it for, you know, the usual. But I said, to replace it, it's a $700 iPhone. They said, well, you can go down and decide
file
if you want to charge him for felony. I'll give you another tip. It was in Tennessee. Anyway, I'm not the kind of guy to do that. I'm there for the gospel. So I preached on. I got my phone back. They ushered him away. It was Easter Sunday that I did this. He's got men up on fake crosses, bleeding and in loincloths, doing the reenactment of Christ. This is, the Bible never tells us to do that. This is a Roman Catholic pagan way. Ready? The story doesn't finish. So my wife wasn't with me that day. She had to drop me off and go park somewhere else. There's nowhere to park. Normally we're together and she's a witness. He grabbed my phone, he throws it.
But
I'm preaching.
Cops
saw it. They
the
said,
cops are
I have a police report that says he threw my phone.
Yeah.
And I could have gotten him for a felony. They said it's a felony. If it's over $500 damage, it's a felony. But I didn't file charges. So they go in the building for their service. I made a death knell mistake. They had two bodyguards. They were bodybuilders. One guy was a black guy. I'd call him a mountain. He was huge.
Yeah.
Another guy was a shorter guy, but still huge. With guns. They packed guns. Oh, this pastor says, you stop my First Amendment rights, I'll meet you at the door with my Second Amendment rights. Yeah, they're wicked, carnal people. Which, by the way, many Christians believe we should shoot and kill for freedom in America, which is not of God.
I do not.
That's how America was founded, by the way, shooting and killing. The 4th of July is coming. It was founded on killing.
I do not subscribe to.
So I'm preaching, and I made a death knell mistake. There were still some people around the front of the building, and I decided to walk around on the public street down the side of the building, and I got out of sight of everybody. I did.
Yeah.
And the two bodyguards saw me, And all of a sudden, they start sprinting at me, and I'm like, oh, this ain't good. This ain't good. I turn to run, trip on my sign, go down, bang my head here, and while I'm getting up, I feel this huge... I had my hand like this with my phone. I'm getting up. I feel this huge either punch or kick. I couldn't see it because they were behind me. And all of a sudden, my phone flies out of my hand. I'm down on the ground. All of a sudden, I look up, and I'm staggered. I'm an old fighter, so I'm pretty tough. I got back up. And I turn around, I look. And here's this mountain of a black man standing over me. He goes, nobody wants you here, boy. And I look, and here's the other white bodyguard, got my sign and my phone, and he's running back into the church. They got me where no one could see. They beat me up. They stole my phone and my gospel sign. And I got up, and I looked at the guy. I thought he was going to punch me or something. And I said, aren't you guys supposed to be Christians? I said, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I turned around, and I walked away. I'm bleeding. The police come back. They had left at this time. The police come back. They said, you need an ambulance to see that something clearly happened. I'm bleeding. I said, no, I'm going to preach on. So I kept preaching. Guess what I did? I reached in my pocket. I had another phone. Okay. Pulled it out.
Yeah.
I kept preaching, and I videotaped the rest of the preach. I had a little amp with me that they didn't take. I kept preaching on. And I'm telling you that story to tell you, that's the heart of most modern pastors. They would love to do that to me. This guy carried it out and got away with it. Other ones would love to see me dead. They killed Paul. They killed Peter. This is the heart of the church system. It is not of Christ. It's not of the truth. The prophets, I'm not a prophet, they got beat up. They got killed. They got sawn in half, according to history, Isaiah. When you stand against them. And so go back to Joyce Meyer. She is a world. She's a Jezebel type person, which she uses makeup, jewelry, her feminization to lure men in. Paul says, don't teach. She's definitely is usurping authority over her husband because he's wrong. She's wrong. That's usurping authority. If I go and take that van and I start driving it away, I'm usurping someone's authority. It's not mine. Doesn't matter if you told me I can have it. I can't take that thing.
It's not mine.
Well, guess what? His wife isn't his. Who is she? The Lord's. His wife is the Lord's. He can't give her the authority to go against the Lord. And so all of these people that you would bring up, and maybe even that man that you know, they're not 99.99%. They are not teaching the oracles and the truth of God. Because if they were, they won't be popular. They won't be in a building. They won't be of the culture. And you will, when you notice them, you'll see they're different. My wife and I are very different. We dress different. The Bible tells us to dress different. The Bible says women are to cover their heads. First Corinthians 11.
Yeah.
The Bible in Genesis 3, God put us in tunic garments. He killed an animal and shed blood. It's an archetype of Jesus.
Yeah. For covering.
Yeah, modesty is a bad word. Covering.
Covering.
He wanted us to cover our forms because now man is sinful. And when you see, I'll be graphic. When you see a woman's butt and breasts showing out, it causes you to look and have bad thoughts. God said cover up so we can help that.
Exactly.
God himself did it. What does the culture do? Goes
they
against
flaunt it.
They flaunt it. They go against it completely. Yeah. So people will tell us, oh, you're legalist. We're supposed to be legal according to
God. We're supposed to know God's word and abide by it.
And here's the key. We keep some pre-Torah things. You know what Torah law is? What he gave to Israel, those 613 laws. We don't keep that.
Right.
We keep the moral law, the Ten Commandments, with one alteration. Jesus is our Sabbath rest.
Right.
We don't keep Saturday. Jesus is our Sabbath rest now.
At all times.
Yep, at all times.
We're
exactly.
We're supposed to rest from our works and do his
bidding. Let me round that out. We rest from our works of salvation in the law.
Oh.
Yeah, we're not. No, the law had you obeying.
Okay, so pertaining to the law, that's
what
you're saying.
Well, hold on. Yeah. And even in Romans, Paul backs it up. You're not saved by the law. He's talking about Torah law. So we rest from keeping Torah. That was God's standard. Ready? Torah was God's standard before Christ.
Right.
Now Christ has come. What's our standard now?
What's our standard?
Christ.
Yeah, he's our
standard.
He
said, your righteousness must rise above the Pharisees to enter the kingdom of God.
Right.
Jesus, in the Old Testament, you laid with a woman as adultery. Jesus said, just look at her and lust. You committed it.
Right.
So Jesus raised the bar. So now we're not working our way to heaven. We're working for the one that made our way to heaven, which is Christ, and our works back up our salvation. Let me take you to marriage. You love your wife?
Yeah.
You take care of her?
Yeah.
Are you faithful to her?
Yes.
That's your works of your marriage to prove that you love her and you're faithful. Without that, you don't have any proof that you really love your wife. Without works of holiness and obedience, that you don't have any proof that you're of God. James 2 says, show you my works, show you my faith, I'll show you my works.
Right,
the two go together.
Right.
In today's culture, Everyone is taught faith alone, grace alone. You just saved by faith alone, grace alone, doesn't matter. There's not one Bible verse that says faith alone, grace alone.
As a matter of fact,
not one.
Jesus said, not all that say, Lord, Lord, will enter into, but those who do the will of my Father.
Very good. That's what he said. Very good. Yeah. Which is works, not to save yourself, proving that but you are fruit. Loving him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
If you don't bear fruit, he'll cut you down and throw you in the fire.
So I would encourage you, I think my website would help you, but God's word is the ultimate resource. Don'tperish.com is the website. Thousands of articles there for free. We don't take people's money. We don't want your money. Right. We support ourselves. I retired early to do this. This is our house. It's all we do. Sold everything to go and do this, to proclaim the Lord. I wouldn't meet you. I had a beautiful homestead in Missouri. I wouldn't meet you if I'm sitting on my homestead in Missouri hunting and fishing the rest of my life. Taking it easy.
You know,
take
brother,
it back. I'll meet you here.
I'll call you brother because I have a lot of similarities with you. I'm kind of currently dissatisfied with my life because I have what you're talking about. But
what meaning? What land?
A house, land, all that stuff.
You feel like you're buried by stuff?
Well, that and see, I know that.
Yeah.
So God is prompting me by the Spirit to say, "Hey, listen."
How old are you?
I am 61, going to be 62.
I'm 60, going to be 61.
Okay.
So we're right there, man. We're right there.
I used to, see, here's the thing. When I was born again, and I actually got